Children of God, disciples of Christ, I greet you in the name of the Father, the Almighty, the Creator God, His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, dwelling within us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, now, yeah, it is Mother's Day, and we want to pay special attention to our mothers in the service this morning, but also the rest of the mothers worldwide. Juan, can I ask you a favor? Please come here. Yes, can you please hand out to all the mothers? Right, I think while Juan is still handing out, on the little chocolate there is a card. The chocolate was just a means, to deliver the card to you. And yeah, I know some of us are not supposed to eat chocolates. In that case, you are more than welcome to give it away to someone else. But there are four aspects that I would just like to really highlight. On the card, we are saying to you as mothers, we appreciate you for the warmth that you are giving to life. Yes, as children, we can testify that in the cold days of life, when trouble and issues were coming our way, our mothers were there for us. You have given us that warm love that no one else can give. So on the card you will see there is a teapot. It means that we are serving you this morning with a pot of warm tea to symbolize the warmth, the loving warmth that you have given to your children and still giving to your children. But yeah, if we make a pot of tea, of course there is the aroma that comes out. The aroma is really to say that you have been of a positive influence in our lives and in your children's lives. You were a good inspiration for us in life. Then, of course, if we drink the tea, we taste the tea. The taste symbolizes the good that you have done in our lives. You have spoken life into our lives. You have always encouraged us, cheer us on our way, even if we make mistakes. You were speaking life into our lives. And lastly, if we drink tea, normally it is when we invite friends and we come together. So the cup of tea also symbolizes togetherness. And what does that mean for us as children? That you as a mother were always present in our lives, far more than I think us as fathers were in our children's lives. The friendship of a mother can never be expressed in words. So that is the wish for us to you as mothers today. May you be blessed and may you enjoy the rest of the day. Now, I brought along a song. I think after that we can basically give the benediction and sing the closing hymn. Because that video, I hope, really says it all for what you as mothers have done in the lives of your children. Let's listen to that.
Thank you for bringing me to this world with love, a precious gift from God above. You gave me all you had so I could grow. You set the path for me to go. Every need you always met, you gave your all with no regret. Held my hand through every fall.
Point is not playing. While they're looking for the... I brought...
Thank you for bringing me to this world with love, a precious gift from God above. You gave me all you had so I could grow. You set the path for me to go. Every need you always met, you gave your all with no regret. Held my through every fall. You helped me find my way back home. You pulled me back when I was lost, reminding me to trust in God. Thank you, Mother, for your endless care, for every moment you were there, for leading me to walk with God. Thank you for making me strong. You showed me Christ, the only way to stand. Taught me right from what is wrong. Your wisdom guiding me each day, a wonderful life along my way. Your love prepared my heart to grow. Your knowledge is a blessing I know. Thank you, Mother, for your endless care, for every moment you were there, for leading me to walk with God. Thank you for making me strong. God, thank you for making me strong. Your love is the light that guides my way. Thank you.
So still for the mothers, our message for you today comes from Proverbs 31. Actually, we should read the whole Proverbs 31, but you are more than welcome to do that on your own time. I think for the sake of time, I would just like to read the last two verses for you from Proverbs 31. It says, "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all, mother. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And that also forms the part of our message for today. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So mothers, once again, have a joyful day, and I trust that you will be blessed. To prepare us then for our scripture reading, we will sing a hymn of dedication. We will stand whilst we're doing that. It's hymn 84, verses 1 and 2. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Let us stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we can be here together in your house of prayer. And we pray to you this morning, O Lord, that you will bless this service, that you will bless the reading from your word, and that you will bless the message that will come from your word, O Lord. May it be falling on good ground and good soil, and that it will grow and bear many, many fruits in your kingdom. We thank you, O Lord, that we can do so here in Namibia in all the freedom, without any fear of persecution. What a wonderful blessing, O Lord, that we can openly and freely declare that we are serving Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that is why, O Lord, our hearts are aching for those in the rest of the world that in this morning must do so with the fear of persecution, and that they need to hide themselves underground in secret rooms to bring you praise and worship. Thank you, Lord, that we have peace whilst the rest of the world is in severe wars. We thank you, Lord, for those that are here. You know each and every one of them. And I pray, O Lord, that the light of your Spirit will shine in their hearts, and that you will meet each and everyone's fear, anxiety, worries, trouble, issues, O Lord, but also the joy and the longing to be with you and in you, that you will see that in their hearts, O Lord, and that you will speak by your Spirit in each and everyone's heart. May you now bless the word that we will open, O Lord, that it is your inspired word that came through the Apostle Paul, and that you will break it open for us, O Lord, that we will fully understand what Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was about to write down and meant for the audience in that time. We thank you, O Lord, for your goodness. We pray for each and every one in the congregation that are ill and that are suffering and that are today even at home not be able to come to the service. But we thank you also, O Lord, for those that have been healed and that you have helped, O Lord. We know that our strength and our help comes from you and you alone. May you be with them, O Lord, especially our elders that are, have to deal with aging. May you be with them, O Lord, and we thank you once again for this opportunity to be together here this morning, and for those that are here in your house of prayer. Bless us, O Lord, if we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Right, so our scripture reading this morning comes then from Acts 17, from verse 22 to 31. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by men, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Speaking of Jesus Christ, of course. This is the word of God. So let us look at the context. It's very clear that Paul is in the modern day Greek, still with its capital as Athens. So that is where Paul is. And it is a city that is overflowing with idols and especially philosophies. But there he finds this altar that is labeled as an unknown God. And Paul is using this as a bridge to introduce to his audience the true God, the God that is not made by human hands, but who is the one who made all things. So what Paul is basically saying to his audience here in Athens is that we don't worship an unknown God made of stone standing here on earth. And Paul basically already gives us a lot of ideas of how do we know God. And the question to us this morning is really, can you and I know God? Is God knowable? So in contrast to an unknown God, Paul is teaching them to worship the Creator instead of creation. The known God instead of an unknown God. Now, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, we are serving a God who reveals himself to us. The fact of the matter is that God wants us to know him, us as his creatures, and him as the Creator. And there are two ways in which God reveals himself to us and revealed himself to us. The first means is the general revelation. And that is the background of the invite slide that I've explained to you in the beginning. It's part of it. We are living in this world. That is God's creation. It is a pity that maybe here in Windhoek, through all the hurl and the scurrel of life, we normally don't have time to stand outside or to sit outside and just to observe the sunset, or sit outside and observe the sunrise, to lay on your back in the open and just look at the sky and let the heavens declare the glory of God. But nature is God's revelation to us. We experience nature every day in our life. We cannot live without oxygen. We need to breathe. And every bit of breath that we are taking in, we are basically saying, yeah, God. So nature is there. And there's plenty examples in the Bible of that. The, The power of God in creation, we are reading in Job 36. The goodness of God, we can read from in Matthew 5, verse 45. So in the first place, my dear brother and sister, we can know about God by just simply observing His creation and nature. The passage in Matthew 5, 45 reminds us that sometimes, you know, you and I, we are actually mad, cross, that so many good things are also happening to unbelievers. And then we are saying, but how come, how is that? That is part of God's nature. He allows His rain, water from heaven, to rain from on the believer's ground, but also on the unbeliever's ground. Why? Because God loves the world. He loves all of His created beings, and He desires to have a living relationship with them. Then we have Scripture. Scripture is our special revelation, where God reveals His kingdom plan. And as I said in the past, kingdom should remind us that there is a king that rules. He rules over a group of people, His people. And He rules in a certain territory, a land, a country. In the same way, we should understand the kingdom of God. God is the king. He has His rules and His commandments to us. We are His people. And in Christ, everywhere where you and I are putting down our feet, we establish the place of His rule. The Scripture is a redemptive revelation. And progressively, it is restoring the relationship between God and us to truly know Him, albeit that we will never fully know God. There is always a difference between the Creator and His creatures. But we can, from nature, and we can, from Scripture, we can truly know God. So now the question is, how do we then know God? We can know God, but how can we know God? If we read in Proverbs 1 verse 7, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here we see that the Bible is telling us that fear, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Now immediately we need to distinguish between two types of fear. There is, I would say, a worldly or a humanly fear, and then there is the holy fear. The first time in the Bible when we read about this worldly or a manly or an unhealthy fear is in Genesis 3, verse 10. When God was looking for Adam and Eve, Adam declared to God, and he said, because God was asking, where are you? Why are you hiding? And he said, I was afraid. So the one type of fear makes us to run away from God and to hide from God. It is a fear that makes us terrifying and makes us to grab to all sorts of solutions to solve the fear instead of running to God. Is it just an Old Testament principle? We read that in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, that God instructs, "It is the Lord your God you shall fear." In Joshua 24, verse 14, we read, we learn that fear is that it is to serve or to worship God in sincerity and faithfulness. It is a fear, the holy fear, is a fear that is pulling us nearer to God. Is it just an Old Testament principle? No. In 1 Peter 2, verse 17, we read that we are taught to fear God and honor the emperor. Even in Revelation 14, verse 7, we read that we are taught to fear God and give him glory. So, to live in the fear of God is an entire biblical principle. The holy fear is not a terrifying dread. It is sincere and faithful. A rejoice in trembling. It is clean. It endures forever. It is a humble posture to understand truth. It is a reverential awe. It is a respect for God. And it is the beginning of knowledge towards wisdom by the will of God to his glory. So here, my brother and sister, we learn from God that we should have a holy fear. And now the question is, how do you and I develop a holy fear for God? And here is where we now need to take a step back and go to Scripture. The question again to us this morning is, can we trust and obey Scripture? While there are many people that perceive the Bible as mere men's words about God, and I hope you hear it very clearly, many people are seeing the Bible and Scripture as men's word about God. That it is full of error and that it is subservient to science. Science and technology is so much advanced and developed, and we now learn that we have evolved. We now learn from science that creation started, and they are now getting more and more sure as to how it all began, and that it happened millions and billions of years ago. So how can the six-day creation in Genesis 1 verse 1 be true? So we should acknowledge that the Bible is not a scientific handbook. And that is why we need to place the Bible under science. May God help us. But to understand Scripture and its inspiration, we can go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. That says, all of Scripture is God-breathed. All of Scripture is inspired. It is not only parts of the Bible. Every word from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is God's inspired words. What do we mean with God's inspired word? It means that both the author and the words that were written down are inspired. That means the Bible, the Word of God, is also twofold in nature. It is a divine human process. Scripture is fully human. Yes, it was written by men, but it is also fully divine because it was breathed out by God. So there is room for human authors' own personality, background, and style to produce exactly what God intended, but in human language. Languages like Hebrew and Greek. So, my dear brother and sister, we can conclude that Scripture originates from God rather than human will. So now what? Me and you should read the Bible as the inspired Word of God. It is God breathed. It is breath. It is the absolute authority. It is the absolute truth. It is containing a spiritual message that you and I should apply in spiritual ways forever. Divine inspiration makes it authoritative, and it does not teach error. Possible human error, especially by means of translations, is not significant, and it can be corrected. Scripture is the unfailing rule of faith and life. So what does it imply for me and you? We can truly know God within the boundaries of being part of His creation and Him being the Creator. The knowledge of God starts with the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is in the authority that we place on the inspired Word of God. It is a relationship issue. It is a heart's issue. We need to know each other. We can basically sum all of this up in the following way. God's Word is an object that is worthy of reverence. The message of the Bible, however, is divine, and we should receive it with praise, worship, and authority. We need to seek to know God from His Word. Our knowledge of His Word increases our knowledge of God. And our knowledge of God will lead us to discover His will for our lives. And living in His will enable us to bring glory to God, the ultimate objective of and purpose of our lives here on earth. So what do we take home? There's a few challenges that I would like to put forward to you. From today onwards, when you read the Bible, you can read the Bible, and we are so used to always say we are reading from, you know, Acts, and it's the words of Paul. Or we read from John, it's the words of John. Yes, it was written down by John and it was written down by Paul, but it was breathed out by the Spirit of the living God. They have done so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that is what is making the Bible God's Word. So when we read, we should actually say to ourselves, now we read the words of God written down for us by Paul. We should study Scripture as our ultimate guide to discover and follow the sovereign will of God, His moral will for us, and also His individual will for us. Like Athens, we must be honest that our culture is also religious, but often we are worshipping still today idols, idols of pleasure, idols of intellect, idols of security. But God is challenging us to stop looking for meaning in temporary and material things, but to focus on Jesus Christ as our only source of help and strength. Repentance for you and I as a Christian is not optional. It is a God's necessary call for a new life in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we this morning once again were reminded through your word that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That you are knowable, O Lord, that we can truly know you from both nature and your scripture. And that we will have to treat the Bible with the necessary respect and authority as your divine inspired word to us, through which we can truly know you, O Lord. And that the increased knowledge of you will help us to live according to your will, both sovereignly, morally, and individually. And by that, O Lord, we can fulfill our purpose in life for which you have created us, and that is to bring glory to you, O God. May your word find its roots in our hearts, O Lord, and that it will grow and bear many, many fruit in your kingdom. And that you will look upon us as your children, O Lord, and say to you, my son or daughter, I am well pleased. May you help us, O Lord, as we ask this in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We now have time to serve our Lord with our offerings. Let us pray together. Father God, you are our ultimate provider for our strength and our help. And through that means, O Lord, we are able to give. May you bless each and every hand that has given, and also those hands that could not give, O Lord. May you help us that we will use this offering to the benefit of your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, our closing hymn is a bit long, but it is such a beautiful hymn that I didn't want to cut it short. So we are going to sing all 5 verses of this wonderful hymn, When We Walk With the Lord, and we can trust and obey. Let us stand and sing.
Thank you.
brother and sister, I want to send you away for the rest of the week till we see next Sunday again by the words of Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Amen.